Welcome to the Unks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are here to discuss running backs in a two-year window. So each year, these tiers take a little bit of a shifting turn, and this year is a little bit different, right? The shape of the position itself changes, so it kind of requires me to label, I guess, different aspects of the positions differently. So there's not a what's interesting is I think last year I had guys in a two-year window who were who were on rookie deals versus guys that were on veteran and windows, and so I sort of had them spread out differently. This year they're all together. Reason for that is not very many of them. So what you see, and I think one of the things that is striking, and really one of the reasons why it's important to, when profiles get depressed that we really like, to hammer them, Josh Jacobs last year. One of the reasons why that's so important is because these situations can really dry up quickly. You can really, really dry up quickly. So there's a couple guys in here who I think are left out, have them purposefully left out of this because, well, I think like they have longevity still. I can't guarantee they're not going to get tagged, right? Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs. So I'm not sure exactly where to handle them right now. So I have them in a different tier of rookies coming off free agents coming off a rookie deal. So that'll be another show, but that is a couple of guys in here who I expect will potentially move up into this range, right? So this range could flesh out a little bit more. And then you might even see a multiple different windows here. You might see, and who knows, free agency might be favorable to some guys, and we get a couple of guys in some two-year windows, and we break it out to be young and old again, right? Guys on rookie contracts, guys on veteran contracts, as being kind of a different two-year window, right? Because that's going to be separated by age largely. But right now, it's just one big group, right? There's four guys on rookie deals, one guy on a veteran deal. That's it. Right? So when you think about the position, like, it is very much, short-term. And so when you can ARB, it's important to ARB for years. It's also important to ARB for flexibility and ARB for increased points when you're, when there isn't a lot of security there, right? So that's, I think, one of the big lessons from this. So the running backs in this window, Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams, Najee Harris, Christian McCaffrey, and Ramondre Stevenson. Let's start with the cheapest one. So Stevenson is, of course, a fourth round running back. That's a different level of that's a different level of risk. I do think he's in a multi-year window, right? That's what his rookie contract is. I think he's the lead back. Is he the clear unencumbered 80% back? I'm not sure. I feel a couple of different ways about where he's at. He's at about running back 12 in ADP. I feel a couple of different ways about that. Number one, I think do I want to invest in he's at 11 right now. Do I want to invest in a day three running back who is 25 in the middle of a rookie contract who I don't trust the team historically? Then I say to myself, okay, well, I don't feel super great about that. But then I start looking at who's behind him. Swift is behind him. Javonte Williams, Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, Dalvin Cook, Dobbins, Pollard, Kamara, Aaron Jones, Damian Pierce. Right? Those are the next 10 guys behind him. And all of a sudden, it's really hard to put Stevenson any later than 13. You could put Javonte Williams, you could put Swift ahead of him. It's really tough to make a case for the guys after that. I mean, Henry's 4 years older than him, right? So I think that becomes a really an interesting spot. So I think maybe if there's a takeaway from this, I do think there's a drop off in how I feel on guys probably after Najee Harris. I think there's a tier break there. There's not a tier break in the there's not a tier break in the tiers, but there's a tier break in my sort of comfort on these guys. That would sort of be the thing that I would say. Again, I think he's a really good player, but there's a lot of things that give me some pause. Now, you could say, I think it's equally plausible to say day three running back, early day three running back, really like him coming out, liked his profile, bullish on him, can do both, right? Can catch and run. The Patriots were really looking for that, especially in the post-James White world, and that's what they found in Ramondre Stevenson, and they're super happy with it. I think that's a logical, cogent argument, to borrow a line from My Cousin Vinny. I just don't know if I want to sort of make an investment at running back 11 on it, right? So you got kind of that balancing aspect of it. That's kind of how I feel on Stevenson, right? So just to sort of flesh that out a bit, I like the player. I think you got to be careful on the cost, right? A lot of threat rate stuff, a lot of priors there in New England we don't entirely trust, right? Could they even be a cap space team, right? I'd be surprised if that's true. I'd be surprised if they're a big cap space team that goes out and address running back. They're pretty smart. I wouldn't expect them to do that. But you looked at their last spending spree, it didn't make a whole lot of sense either. Right, they have $34 million on the cap for next year. Right, they're going to cut. Jonnu Smith's contract's horrendous, by the way. He's still on the hook for $17 million next year. They can cut him post June 1 and save $4.5 million, but he'd actually lose money if they cut him early in the offseason. So we'll see what they do. Hunter Henry, they can save $10 million. Kendrick Bourne, they can save like $5.5 million. They can save $6 million with Devontae Parker. I think that's really their big moves there. But yeah, you start looking at it like they're all of a sudden probably in the range like a $50 million team. You know, is that additional weapons, right? Do they run back the position? I expect they're going to do something, right? Harris is going to be free agent. I'm sure he's walking. You know, I'm sure they're going to do something, whether it's draft a day two guy, bring in a veteran. Like, I don't think Stevenson's going to go through this offseason without a bump in the road. So that's the one thing you got to kind of be careful of. So that's kind of the unabridged version of where I'm at on Stevenson. I think the key to this, I'm going to avoid Javonte Williams probably at cost, even though he's on a rookie deal. I think he's probably safe through the next 2 years, but you could see kind of like a Dobbins trajectory. That would concern me a bit. He has a hit on his resume. Dobbins doesn't. So you got to sort of be careful about that. That does change his arc a bit. Or he's at like a 56% future hit rate. Dobbins is down like 25%. So again, those are very different arcs just based on that hit. But coming off an injury, and then, are you getting a full year of production this year? And then all of a sudden you're going into a final year of your contract next year. Life comes at you quickly, right? So, again, he'll only be 25 when that happens, but, that can come at you quickly. But I think he's in a two-year window. I'm probably avoiding it because, I don't want to necessarily take the half season of a slow ramp-up period with him and sort of eat that. I think they could bring in some competition, right? Sean Payton was openly flirting with Josh Jacobs on television. So there's that as well. We'll see what they do. I think he's probably in a two-year window. I don't feel particularly confident with him. I thought he was overcooked at his price. Right? That's probably true based on the fact that he's fallen 10 spots in ADP and basically done nothing. Whenever that's the case, that's usually the sign of a pretty bad value when he was there. So that leaves really looking at Taylor, Harris, and McCaffrey. I think that Harris is Josh Jacobs reincarnated. This is a down year for him, but he still has two top 12s. He still finishes, right? Again, is it the most efficient thing this past year? No. Is it an ideal season? No. But when you look at profiles, that's really intriguing, right? That's really intriguing where you're like, all right, bad season, top 12 running back, bang, right? Like, all right, like can handle a workload, right? Can do, both things well. Right? Then he's priced at running back 10. He's behind Chubb, right? That's a two-year difference in age. I don't know how you can justify that, you know? And then again, it becomes a little bit of what you want, you know? I mean, I think he's certainly a top 10 running back, you know? And then you start thinking like, all right, Jacobs and him, like I probably like Jacobs the player better. Etienne's a year younger. I probably like Etienne the player better. It's a year younger, you know? And then, you know, it's Kenneth Walker. Like Kenneth Walker's then what, almost 3 years younger than him. So you have that old sort of rookie profile there, and that's the effect that it has. I understand why he's there. I think that's pretty cheap for running back that has his profile, right? So again, you get outside of like 10 and it becomes pretty quickly you're like, all right, there's a lot of warts there. Again, you get multiple hit first round guys, like those are usually top five running backs through 2 years. Like he's up there, he's a star. Right. So again, he's a discount. He's a target profile this offseason. So definitely. And consolidating up to him as well. Guys like Mixon, you know, can you add to Mixon to get Harris? Like now's the time to do those sorts of deals. Like he's a landing spot. I think relatively safe player from now through the start of the season. And I like his scoring profile quite a bit. The last two guys in this are Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. Running backs 2 and 3 respectively over at Fantasy Calc. You know, listen, I think last year I said, yeah, I'd rather take a discount on McCaffrey. You know, I think I did JT for McCaffrey in a first in a spot. Like that proved to be pretty successful last year. I think it was a top five pick, right, in this draft. So that was a good deal. I love those deals, right, when you can say, all right, like we're at a pretty vulnerable position. I'll take a couple year age drop. You give me a future first. Like that's opening yourself up to a ton of variance by doing that, and I'll totally willing to embrace that, right? So that's a play that I did, and I like that play. Again, he was a little bit more discounted relative to the position last year. You get him 4 or 5 somewhere in there as well at times. So yeah, I mean, I'm still in on McCaffrey. He'll be 27 this year. I think he's got as high a ceiling as anybody. I think his ceiling's probably a little bit lower in San Francisco would kind of be my take there. It was just so concentrated around him in Carolina. It's not as much in San Francisco. I think that's really the thing. Like, you're not going to see him catch 100 balls in this offense. And I just think that's where it's at. So does he have the highest running back upside? I still think he probably does. So, you know, I'm a fan, right? Again, it's a discount profile. If you can package multiple players up in like the, you know, in the 10 through 20 range to stop at McCaffrey, I think that's a great deal. It's a really, really good deal. So big fan of his. Again, he was excellent. He was not used quite as much as I thought he would be, you know, at least early on. And then they used some of Elijah Mitchell to, you know, to take some of the beating off of him a little bit at times too. So maybe it's not necessarily, again, the full experience, the full Christian McCaffrey sort of every down experience that it was in Carolina. But again, still up there, you know, in relative to the position, he was second in catches, right? I mean, his second in catches and he had north of 1,800 yards. So really good season there for him. Expected fantasy points, 18.6. That was third behind Eckler and Joe Mixon. Points per game scoring, he was with a late charge too. Got up to second behind Eckler, who was at 22.2. McCaffrey was at 20.6. Jacobs at 19.4. Jacobs stalled out right at the end. He had a chance like 3 weeks to go, and then he stalled out. Eckler kind of pulled away, and McCaffrey passed him like right at the end. So it's kind of the trajectory of those guys. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the McCaffrey profile. I think the ceiling's really good. I think him and Eckler are they're guys that can catch 80 balls and score a touchdown a game. That's a pretty dangerous, right? That's basically running back one, right? When that happens, it's pretty close to running back one as an accomplishment. So I think he's situated there. And again, I think he's got multiple years of security. They just invested in him, right? Feel pretty confident in McCaffrey over the next couple of years. Again, I think the injury stuff is probably more, I talked about this in the last show, it's probably more overblown. I don't think it's necessarily, it's not the Kadarius Toney hamstring. Yeah, you remember some other guys who just had like these chronic injuries. They haven't been quite as bad recently, but you know, there was points where there was guys that just constantly had hamstrings. It was like a while ago that seemed like there was just some prototype guys that constantly had that. He's not really injured like that, right? He's just banged up as a running back, but I don't think it's necessarily anything that's chronic. So not really worried about him. And I think he should age gracefully as well. Like, he's smaller, so you don't necessarily love that. But again, if you take 20% off the rushing, it's still really good. You know, it's still a top six guy or so. And that's, you know, that's just with the receiving stuff, right? That's just so valuable. So again, it'd be fun to see a full off season with him and see how that works out in that offense. Last one up is Jonathan Taylor. I'm interested in Jonathan Taylor. I've seen him speculated a couple different times in some trade stuff. I'd be curious to see what direction this team goes. Again, what do they view themselves at as interesting, right? This is a team that has not that much cap space, that they're going to pick in the top five. They're probably going to pick in the top couple. They're going to be able to clear some cap space with Matt Ryan. You know, they've got some decisions to make on some guys as well, but this is a team that's awfully invested in non-premium positions. Right? They've got their eighth biggest cap hit. Eighth or ninth biggest cap hit is actually Mo Alie Cox. Right? So Michael Pittman's going to become due. Right, you're gonna have to pay Jonathan Taylor. I think this becomes a situation of, you know, what window do they think they're in right now? Do they think they're in a contending window? Is paying Jonathan Taylor make a ton of sense in that window, or do they, you know, see what they can recoup? I've just seen it enough. I didn't really think of it coming into the season that it would be something in my, you know, on my radar. But it is something that I've seen enough of in, you know, speculated about in, you know, in some off-season, you know, news article pieces like that, that those sorts of things, that it's just given me a little bit of an eyebrow raise. When I see those things, I know there's conversations that we're not privy to. And so I always kind of just take it and with a side-eye glance kind of think about it. So that's one for sure that I'm sort of have my eye on, be like, why is that keep percolating? What do they know that we don't, right? Because a lot of these people that are writing and reporting, having conversations that they're not directly citing. And, you know, we'll sort of see how that turns out. So just something to keep an eye on there with Jonathan Taylor. But yeah, I mean, I think he's up at the top of the position. He's pretty he's pretty system proof as well. Their offensive line really cratered last year, but durable profile, really good. I think he's a better receiver than people give him credit for. He can do it all. Again, I don't think he's like a 23, 24, 25 point a game running back one candidate, right? I think that's McCaffrey. It's probably Eckler could get there. I think Taylor just isn't going to catch enough passes to do that, but certainly could be a touchdown a game guy. Could lead the league in rushing and then kick in, you know, 45 catches, and that gets you way up there as well. So I think he still has that in his bag. We'll see him coming back. Again, I think that same situation holds true. If you can package multiple players sort of in that 10 to 20 range for him, I'm interested in doing that. You know, then it becomes a question of, do you really want to be investing that high in him in a startup draft? Like, I tend to lean no because I'm going other positions. So it becomes really like a, how much did I draft him in rookie drafts type of thing, right? That a lot of it is what becomes the story with these guys that become really highly valued running backs. They become hard to acquire and difficult in our team builds to acquire. And as a result, like, you're kind of stuck with what you paid for him originally. So, so that's really where I think we're at with this. Again, I'm willing to go big trades up to sort of consolidate into these guys. I think Harris is the most accessible one. I'll give you a couple trades here as well from the trade database, talking about, you know, Najee Harris specifically. He was in one for Russell Wilson in a it was Najee Harris for Russell Wilson in a second. Some other stuff here. It's him for T. Higgins sort of earlier in the offseason. A 2025 first for Najee Harris and a 2024 third. You know, so there's a first and a fourth for him. It's tough to say when that is. Like, there hasn't been a ton of action on him either. He's in part of a couple bigger deals as well. But that Najee Harris, like T. Higgins, again, you probably lean wide receiver in that particular range. But again, I think that's more of an endorsement of his value, right? So again, consolidating pieces towards him makes a lot of sense. I think he's discounted probably in the pick market as well. Can you give him mid first for him? Yeah, right? Like, I would do that. So yeah, maybe you hold it now to see if it sort of accrues some additional value, but I think ultimately you'd pay that. So you'd rather have that than running back three in this class would sort of be my angle. So yeah, so that's really the plan on these guys. And again, I like this tier. I think it speaks to the fact that there's a very limited amount of guys that have a lot of security. So Barkley and Jacobs will hope to get themselves in that tier, but we'll have to see how their off seasons play out. All right, that'll do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.